looking for the new world and the palace in the sun. On the shore lay Montezuma with his coca leaves and pearls. In his halls he often won the secrets of.
Cheers. Thanks very much for joining me here today on this this farm, on this onion farm. And you're probably thinking to yourselves, I mean, it looks like a cool, a kind of calm, quite a relaxed kind of place. I mean, and it is. I mean, believe me, it is. It is now, but it wasn't always like that. I'm just going to tell a story. I'll start right at the beginning. It starts like this. You see this nail? This nail here. If you haven't already seen this nail, please come up later and have a look at this nail. It's very, very important. Evil Glenn's Cortex Anorak jacket was caught on that nail, and he was trying to fight with me. He was swinging with his arms. He was swinging with his left arm, with his right arm, and I backed away like this, and I was staying out of his reach, and I was thinking. And I felt incredibly alone. That's not how it begins. That's actually the end. So if you just forget that bit for a minute, and just I'll start properly. I'll start right at the proper beginning. So it all started at my allotment. I mean, you know the one. It's got the kind of lines. It's got the lines there with the little plants and stuff like that, and it's got the nets with the kind of vegetables and things like that kind of growing in it, and it was perfect. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I was a failed writer. I mean, my two previous novels, Kissing the Walnut and The Devil's Prong, had mixed reviews. One critic describing both novels as just simply the word lukewarm. I mean, I was down on my luck, and I was at the allotment, but I felt okay, and I was feeling better. And then one day, one thing happened that kind of changed everything, and a lot of the time I think about this event. I needed to borrow a trowel, and I was in the allotment, and I just went up to one of the other sheds, and I knocked on the door. I hadn't meant to, I just pushed the door open, I walked in, and there was an old man defecating into a plastic bag. I hadn't meant to, honestly, I hadn't meant to see him, but I walked in, and in that moment he looked at me with a mixture of fear and kind of disgust in his eyes. And I can see from your faces, I know I did exactly what you would have done in that situation. I just got out of there. I started running and running and running, and when I couldn't run anymore, I was walking. And I was walking down this long road. And as I walked, I became more and more depressed. I saw like an old an old can just there by the side of the road. And that depressed me. And I saw like an old upturned wheelchair with all the stuffing kind of coming out. And that depressed me. And even I saw a couple of old weeds just like growing there, and they depressed me too. And that combined with this, you know, the lack of literary success, finding the old man defecating into the plastic bag, I felt very low and I felt very depressed. I thought, I don't want to go on anymore. That's it, I don't want to go on anymore. And as I walked, I came across this carpenter, and he was just there by the side of the road, and I sort of explained to him, I wanted him to make me a coffin, and I explained. But, you know, he was old, and I don't think he quite understood what I was saying, but he was trying to make me a coffin, but he didn't quite understand. And he got all the sizes wrong. And this is what I ended up with. Obviously, it's not what I wanted. It was completely out of proportion. There was no way I was going to fit in it. I felt bad. He'd put a lot of time and effort into it. The craftsmanship was substantial. I laid it down. Sort of looked at it. Took the lid off. I mean, he was just there, he was watching, so I tried to make it work. Sat down in it, but it just wasn't happening. But I feel again, like you'd have taken it in the same way I did. I took it as a sign. I thought, that's a sign, I'm not meant to give up. I'm not meant to die there and then. I'm meant to live. So I got up, I put the lid back on the coffin. Like that. I said thanks to the carpenter. I carried on my way. And I was walking and I was getting even more and more tired. Now I was carrying this coffin on my shoulder that had no real purpose to it because it was definitely the wrong size. And eventually I ended up here in this onion farm with this wagon thing and that cross thing over there and that wall just like that. And I felt like the best place for the coffin was on this wagon, so I moved the sack that's there. I moved that out of the way. And I laid the coffin down. I was pretty hungry. I hadn't eaten in quite a few hours, and I sort of looked around the farm, and there wasn't anyone here. It was completely deserted. It felt quite strange. I found an old sack in one of the corners, and it had some onions in it, and I collected them up. I kind of walked over here like this, and I started eating the onions, just like that. And I was tired. I sort of laid down, kind of like this. I had my fill of the onions and I just laid down for a second. Just sort of laid down like this and I just sort of rested my head. Just sort of rested my head for a second. I started finding myself just falling asleep. And then I was dreaming. I was dreaming about the big Morrisons. In Greenock. I was dreaming about that Morrison's. It's way too big for the size of the. It's not even a city. It's more like a little town. But I started dreaming about the big Morrison's in Greenock, and I started dreaming about the kind of canteen thing that they've got there. Dreaming about the kind of the guy that working there, and I was ordering. I found myself ordering some onions to take away. And he didn't quite understand, and then he had an onion-shaped head. And then suddenly, I woke up, stood directly above me, just about here, was an anteater. And he was staring right at me. And honestly, I've never seen an anteater up close before. He had a long snout, a kind of long tongue, dense black fur, And then I noticed he was eating one of my onions, like this. He was sniffing it up his snout. And as I watched, he took another sniff, like that. And I waited. I sort of backed away a little bit. I didn't know what he was going to do. I didn't know how to take it. I sort of slowly got up like this. And he turned to me and he said, "Well, hello. My name is Derek Cardwell." And I was as shocked as you. Firstly, I'd never seen an anteater in real life. I'd never seen an anteater eat an onion in real life before. And I'd never seen one speak. And I'm doing my best. I mean, I'm a humble peasant like you. I mean, I'm just trying to give you a sense of what he was like. And I'm, you know, my accents aren't the best. It was sort of miscellaneous northern voice. He carried on saying, he said, "A dangerous creature roams these lands." I didn't know what he meant. And then I remembered, I've just forgotten a bit. If you imagine back at the beginning with the carpenter, I've missed a bit out. When I left the carpenter, he said, "Fear Glen." So back in the story, so I'm talking to the anteater. And he turns to me and he says, "A dangerous creature roams these lands." And he went on to explain. I'll paraphrase because he was talking for quite some time. But he said, "A creature by the name of Evil Glen patrols this area." He said this was once an affluent onion farm, and now it was merely just a ruin. He'd driven away all the people that lived there, and it was becoming barren. And the more he explained about Evil Glen, the more I feared him. He was a horrible character. He took great pleasure in the discomfort of the disabled. He was a right bastard. And so I listened, and I listened, and I listened. And I don't know if it was something to do with the false confidence that the eating all the onions had kind of driven on, or if it was just the sort of the heat or the kind of moment, but suddenly I felt braver than I'd ever felt in my life. And I felt like, no, not this time. I'm not going to back away. I'm going to stay. I'm going to stand my ground. And he commended my bravery, and he said, Derek Cardwell said, "It's going to take a lot of love." I didn't know what he meant, but he left and I stayed. And I thought, okay, picked up one of the sacks, kind of sat over here like this, and I kind of put the sack like that, and I sat in the corner and I waited, and after a while, I sort of fell asleep again, and then I woke up, and I was staring into that corner just over there, just behind where you are now, and walking towards me was Evil Glen. It was exactly what Derek Cardwell described. He had a kind of bulbous head. It went out at the back. And it went in his chin. And these kind of cold, dead eyes. And his mouth looked like this. Kind of like a cat's bum. And I watched him. He was coming closer and closer and closer. And suddenly, I did not want to be there. The onions had completely worn off. I'd made a massive error. All I wanted to do was get the hell out of there. But it was coming nearer and nearer and nearer. And he was almost touching me. I leapt up and I kind of threw this sack of onions at him like that, and I kind of ran over here and he kind of followed me. And he was on one side of the wagon and I was on the other side of the wagon. I kind of went like that and he went like that. I went like that and he went like that. And then as he came round, his Cortex anorak jacket got caught on that nail there. If you haven't already seen that nail, please have a look at that nail later. It's very important. And he was caught on there, and he was struggling. He was trying to swing at me with his left arm and with his right arm, and he was trying to attack me, and at the same time I was kind of trying to get him off but also kind of hold him there. And as he was caught, I kind of took my moment. I started explaining about the coffin and how it had come to be, and I told him about my failed novels. I told him about the man defecating in the bag, and I told him about the weeds by the side of the road. And I feel like I've got a good sense of what you're like as people. I felt like I could change him. I feel like you would feel like you could change him. You could somehow find the good even in someone who's pure evil. I thought I'd managed it. But then he looked at me and there was no changing him. He was evil to the core. And he grabbed me and I grabbed onto him, and we were struggling. We were kind of moving like this. He was sort of swinging around with his arm, and then we were kind of rolling on the floor like this. I kind of had him on the back, and I sort of held onto my hat at the same time, and we were kind of rolling in a kind of mad embrace. And I sort of rolled like that, and I got up, and I grabbed onto his arm, and I sort of pulled it, and I tripped, and it was completely an accident. I pulled his arm, and I tore it from the socket. And I knew I'd done enough. I'd done enough to purge the land of evil Glen. I watched as he sort of slowly skulked out of the onion farm, off into the distance. I had kind of time to reflect. I sort of started thinking again, and I thought again about the coffin, and I felt a kind of strange sense. I didn't know if I'd really achieved that much in my life, or if this was a major turning point. But I also realised that there was something to be said for kind of purging the land of a evil creature such as Glen. And I didn't know what else to do, but I just waited for a bit. And I waited. Thanks very much, you've been amazing. Cheers, thank you.